Number chapter 10 from Art of Chanting. This is called Yoga Techniques of Concentration. This first section is called Qualification to Hear. And we're simply extracting particular sections of this book which are worth hearing about in a more detailed way. This is a very common question that comes up when chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When discussing the correct method of chanting japa, Srila Prabhupada generally advised his disciples to just hear the name. In New York City, in the beginning, there was quite a lot of interesting people. Let's say Adbhuta hippies joining ISKCON. Very extraordinary personalities and form and fancy. And one lady, she was in San Francisco. She joined the campaign in San Francisco. And she revealed to Prabhupada, she said, "Prabhupada, when I'm chanting Hare Krishna, when I'm chanting the Maha Mantra, I see this big red light. And the red light is going, wong, 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 wong. This red light keeps throbbing in my face and pulsating, wong, wong, wong." And so Prabhupada, "I don't know what to do about this." And Prabhupada said, "Just keep chanting and it will go away. It will go away. Keep chanting." So, and other times people said, "Srila Prabhupada, what should I do when I chant Hare Krishna? My mind is chakra. It's going everywhere. Going all everywhere around in circles." And he said, and he would reply often, "Just hear the name." Once a disciple told Prabhupada it was very difficult to control the wandering mind during japa. This is 1975. And Prabhupada sent a reply, "What is the use of controlling the mind? You have to chant and hear. That's all. You have to chant with your tongue and the sound you hear. That's all. What is the question of the mind?" So there you have it. It's very easy. No problems. Right? All problems solved. Just chant and hear. What is this mind? Forget it. Although Srila Prabhupada makes it sound easy, the mind is a formidable enemy to control. The ability to just hear with concentration and attention depends on the purity of one's mind. In the following purport, Srila Prabhupada admits that attentive hearing depends on purity in thought and action. This is from Bhagavatam 1.3.44. "No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. And no one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating." So it's pure actions, pure thoughts, then pure mind, then pure concentration, then pure chanting. So purity, cheto darpana margin, purification, sattvic ahara, sattvic food, pure foods, sattvic achar, pure actions, sleeping early, rising early, bathing thrice, at least thrice a day, bathing. Clean cloth, everything clean, then the mind becomes clean by sadhana bhakti, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Then it's the name itself can be heard with rapt attention. This book, The Art of Chanting Hare Krishna, is for those unfortunate devotees who lack the requisite mental purity to, quote, just hear the holy name. By using the japa techniques described in this book, one can control the wandering mind by containing it within a large spiritual circle. This circle is filled with shlokas and prayers, the meaning of the holy name, and transcendental meditations on Sri Krishna's beautiful form, qualities, and pastimes. Moving within this large spiritual circle will purify and calm the restless mind. Then it will be easier to focus the mind on the smaller circle of just hearing the name and to chant with full concentration and rapt attention. So there's some, it's not really very visible. And this is, I've evolved some other charts also out of this, but I haven't made them. But this is the idea, one idea. There's two circles here. There's one small circle. There's one large, one small circle, which is N-A-M-A, Nam. So that represents. Is this light work? I don't know. These are just decoration. Or they work. They work. Turn on. You turn it on. Does it work? Hey, look at that. So this small circle represents Nam. So best thing is we just hear the holy name and chant. But a lot of times we're trying to chant and then our mind is wandering here and there. Usually it's either we're hearing the holy name and chanting and hearing the holy name, otherwise our mind just goes anywhere. It goes away from that, it goes into Maya. This is all these little squiggles are Maya. And I'm going to make some other charts too. I already wrote samples of it. But Maya means anything but the holy name. So instead of letting the mind just go away from this small circle and just go out into infinity, thinking about, instead of letting the mind go outside the concentrated circle of the name and going on into infinity, thinking about things I have to do today, people I have to meet, and chores I have to do, duties I have to perform, engagements I have to meet, then we trap the mind, we have a larger circle, which is Krishna, the meaning of the holy name. This above here, it says meaning, then rupam. Meaning, prayers, and shlokas, then rupa, guna, lila. And these are all contained within a larger spiritual circle. Because Krishna's name, and the meaning of his name, and Krishna's form, and his qualities, and his lila, they're all transcendental. Nam, rupa, guna, lila, parishishta. They're all spiritual. So if you're contacting any of these spiritual items, then your mind will become pure. It'll become peaceful and become steady. When the mind is settled down and stopped jumping over all these extraneous ideas away from the name, then you can descend back to the circle of name of the Nam again. So temporarily you may rise away from the Nam. You're not chanting, you're chanting the holy name, and your mind, instead of letting your mind going to your shopping list, you say, "Oh, my mind, I'm not hearing that holy name. I'm not chanting very attentively. Well, let me chant Krishna's name and think of his form. Let me look at a poster of Krishna, always dressed like this, or a picture. Let me look at the deities who are wearing this kind of dress or this kind of mala." And so then temporarily, it's a type of distraction in one sense, where you're distracted to a spiritual, it's a spiritual distraction. And when you're thinking of Krishna's form, although it's not ideal hearing and chanting and just hearing the sound vibration, when you're thinking of Krishna's form, that's also spiritual. So it purifies the mind, and it takes you away from thinking of the shopping list and things I have to do, and you're still connected with Krishna, so you haven't left Krishna. But generally, we're either chanting the holy name or we completely space out. And we even stop chanting and daydream or think of our shopping list, or we're chanting and thinking of our shopping list, or thinking of the hairdresser, or the shopping mall, or the multiplex movie we're going to on Saturday, or whatever. So this is the idea of this. So these different ideas in the book about Krishna's qualities and leelas, they help, they give us something, it gives something solid, something spiritual, solidly spiritual for the mind to latch onto or the mind to grab onto instead of non-Krishna things. And then once you hold onto that, then you settle down and forget the non-Krishna things, then you can get back to the essential activity, which is hearing the sound vibration of Krishna's name and chanting attentively, because this is actually, everything comes from that. That's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just hearing the sound, and the, which is Krishna. Well, this is a little bit of a chart, kind of small. So now the rest of this book explains these different techniques that we can utilize to control the mind, which is really the essence of yoga. Well, when we say about shlokas, there's a whole section, I think we covered it already, about the glories of the holy name. So generally, it can be under shlokas, and there's a chapter which we already discussed called prayers. Prayers in the holy name, that was chapter 8. Now we're in chapter 10. So it's just reiterating what we already discussed. The specific prayers, you have to look in chapter 8, which we've already covered. Shlokas means prayers. Prayers, for example, prayers can be your own composed words. O holy name, O Srinam Prabhu, you're so glorious, you're so beautiful and attractive, but my mind is going everywhere. Please attract my mind. Please reveal your beauty to me, O holy name. Please reveal your sweetness to me, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is a type of prayer, a heartfelt prayer composed by yourself. Or shlokas. Shlokas, what are shlokas? Shlokas are just poetic renditions of prayers and descriptions. And oftentimes what is recommended is one should offer shlokas in terms of shlokas, because they're actually prayers to the holy name specifically. And then there are shlokas, which are also prayers. Everything's basically a prayer. There are verses or shlokas which glorify the holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigara Purnashura Nitya Mukta Binatan Namanamano. And then you think of the translation, oh, this holy name, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigara. This Nama is Chintamani. This holy name is like Chintamani. It's a thought. Chintamani is a thought gem. Whatever desire, whatever I have in my mind can be awarded and given to me by this holy name. Why don't I take advantage of this holy name? And then the Shikshastakam prayers themselves. Now these Shikshastakam, are they shlokas? Yes, they're shlokas. They're Sanskrit shlokas. Are they prayers? Yes, they're prayers. What are they prayers to? The holy name. But of course they contain Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan, everything is there. So you can repeat the prayer, Chinada Pisuni Chena. Oh, holy name, Prabhu, I have no humility. I'm so proud, I'm so puffed up. This is why you're not revealing yourself to me. Please help me become humble. Oh, holy name, please let me approach you with all humility and submission. So these are techniques. There's so many techniques in this book. Do these things instead of thinking of the shopping list. Or plan. Oftentimes people say, well, is it all right to think about your service while you're chanting the holy name? That's wrong. That's offensive. The 11th offense is being attentive while chanting. So the service will be done. Krishna's doing everything. He's giving the ability. He's giving the intelligence. He's giving the strength. He's providing all the materials. And Krishna's a time element. Krishna says, I am time. I've come to engage all men. So everything is happening in the background of time. That background is Krishna. So our duty is to be Krishna conscious at every moment. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanushmara yujaja. Payarpita menobudhir. It says, Krishna's telling Arjuna that you should always think of me and fight. So the real activity of a devotee is thinking of Krishna. Manmanabhava. Manmanabhava madbhakta. Always thinking of Krishna. The duty, all the success of our endeavor is already created by Krishna. There's five factors. Five factors determining success in any endeavor. And the most important factor is the super soul, Krishna. He's managing everything. Our senses, our application, our endeavor, the place, the time, these are secondary factors. The primary factor is Krishna. So this is chanting with attention and concentration. There's one particular entry here. What is concentration? Because the 11th offense is to be inattentive while chanting the holy name. We're distracted here and there. So that means lack of concentration. So we have to improve our powers of concentration. Concentrate on the vibration, the transcendental vibration of Krishna's name. How do we do that? What is concentration? What exactly is concentration? Concentration means to steadily focus or to hold the mind on one form or one object for a long time. In Sanskrit, the word concentration is known as dharana, which is the sixth step on the yoga ladder. Yama niyam, asan pranayam pratyahara dharana dhyan samadhi. Technically, the term dharana means to fix the mind on one object, which is explained in Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, desha bandhas chittasya dharana. However, when there is difficulty in keeping the mind fixed within a limited area of focus, one may keep the mind moving within a broader area in which everything relates to the central object of concentration or meditation. This is one of the main points of this book. When the mind refuses to just hear the holy name, then it may be allowed to meditate on Krishna's form, qualities, and pastimes, Dham, or a painting of the Lord. So, this is something about this concentration and dharana. A very interesting point. When one chants the holy name, especially in the beginning of bhakti sadhana, we come to the practice of bhakti sadhana or yoga abhyas with lots of contamination in the mind and heart. There's lots, different people have different contaminations of greed and anger and lust and envy, pride, intolerance, anger, all these anarthas or undesirable qualities, anti-qualities or inimical qualities. These qualities are the enemies of love. Envy is the enemy of love. So then we have to remove these from the heart. And this is the process of self-purification, which is very much hastened by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, which is so much pavitram and purifying. So when we can take advantage of some suggestions from the Yoga Sutras. This chapter, of course, is called Yoga Techniques of Concentration. We are performing bhakti yoga, but we can also borrow techniques from the other yoga traditions, the Ashtanga tradition, or Raja Yoga, Gyan Yoga. We're also incorporating different aspects and facets of their yoga traditions in our application of bhakti sadhana. So Patanjali, who compiled the Yoga Sutras, he gives a secret for controlling the mind. He says, when negative, harmful, or sinful thoughts disturb the mind, they can be overcome by pondering over, which means thinking over, or contemplating, their opposites, which is technically called vitarka badane pratipaksha bhavanam. A devotee must be ever alert, always watching the mind. Whenever useless or sinful thought waves arise while chanting japa, they should be immediately replaced with positive thoughts. Such action will create a new mental habits conducive to spiritual advancement. In other words, one should replace thoughts of enjoyment with thoughts of service. For example, if while chanting japa, you think about exploiting someone for sense pleasure, you can reverse that thought by this opposite thinking process. You can reverse that thought by thinking how to serve and help that person become Krishna conscious. So generally, the materialistic mind of the jiva, generally people are thinking how to extract, how to gain, how to collect, how to take, how to profit from the environment, from others. In short, how to exploit. We are exploiting agents of exploitation. In fact, we live by exploiting. Without exploiting, we can't live. We exploit the vegetable kingdom to live. We exploit the fruits. We exploit. We have to take from nature. Our very existence depends on the annihilation of someone else. Jivo jivasya jivanam. One jiva lives on the life of another. This is the nature of this material world. I cannot avoid it. No one can exist without someone else. If we don't eat the other jivas, we perish. So the plants are also jivas. They're living. So we eat, well, we're vegetarian, so we eat plants, but we're eating individuals. Of course, it's prasadam. We're relinquished from the sinful deed of killing of that jiva because we offer that to Krishna. That's acceptable foodstuffs to offer to him, according to Shastra. And he makes provision. Yes, human beings, you can eat these foods if you offer them to me, and you will be free from sin and duly nourished and maintained by my arrangement. But don't go outside this injunction. Don't eat bhoga and don't eat forbidden foods. Otherwise you'll perish. You'll get reaction. You'll be reaction. So this is some idea. We can try it. Now we have a few ideas here we can try to practice in our chanting tomorrow. And we'll continue. Some other ideas. Opposite. When you're chanting and you see some devotee and some bad thoughts come about that devotee, oh, that devotee, he's no good. Then you can try, think, oh no, actually he's very good. Or she's quite good. She's good because she wears tilak. See, she's wearing tilak. She's very good. She's a Vaishnavi. She's wearing tilak. There must be something good. If you strain your brain, and stretch your heart, you can find something good about everyone. No one is absolutely bad, through and through, 1,000%. There is some good even in the worst dacoit. He may be the worst dacoit, but he does a good deed because he gives 10% of his stolen money to an orphanage. Maybe he has a soft heart for orphans. So he goes out and robs people and kills them and gets so many millions of rupees. But then every year he gives a big donation to an orphanage. So that's a good thing. It's a good thing to help the orphans. So he's not completely bad. So what to speak of devotees?